Thank you, Brother Lindsay. Take your Bibles now, and let's turn for the next few minutes. We'll look at Psalm 65:11, share some thoughts with you as we look at another year. We look back on last year, and we see a lot of victories, hopefully. But let's remember to give God the glory for those victories. Amen. We see we've gone through a lot of trials, perhaps. But we need to remember that God saw us through those times. And then we need to think about the future and think about this next year that's coming up. Psalm 65, verse 11, just one verse. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths, that is God's paths, and those of us who follow in his paths, thy paths drop fatness. And that's one good use of the word fatness. Amen. It means God's blessings on you. And so we have that promise from the Word of God. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. And it's with God's goodness. Last year, as I said, we no doubt had a lot of victories. I can think of a number of victories that God gave me last year. And I'm thankful for them. A lot of good things that I look back on and I say, God did that. God provided that. God was good to me. God worked that out in the church. God blessed some things that we had, the Bible conference, a missions conference. I could go on and on and talk about some personal things. But last year, as we would think of it, we had a lot of victories. But we must not take credit for those victories. We have to give God the glory for every victory that we have ever had in our lives. God is the one who should be glorified, and he's the one that has given us the strength and the victory to overcome, or the victory, whatever it may have been that he's given to us in our lives. Give God the glory. How foolish for us to try to take the glory. It all belongs to God. We would be nothing but lost sinners on our way to hell tonight were it not for the grace of God. That's all we would be. But thank God for his blessings and his victories. Also, I would say that I had a couple of failures last year. And some of you would say, yes, Pastor, I can relate to that. In fact, most of us, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand, but I would imagine most of you would say, yes, you're exactly right. I had some failures. Some of them may have been today. Some of them may have been in the home. Some of them may have been at work. Some of them may have been in your area of service, or whatever it may be. But we do have failures. Now, what causes some of those failures that we have in our life? I don't like to have failures, and we shouldn't want any failures, but sometimes we're going to have them. And there are reasons. A lot of times there are logical reasons. And a lot of the blame goes to us. It's our fault sometimes. And one of the things is that our priorities are not what they should be. We have to get our priorities right. What are your priorities for this year? I asked the question this morning, what is your purpose in life? If we can get that right, get our priorities right, our purpose is not to get rich or to have it easy or to retire with a lot of money in the bank or any of those other things. It's all right if you can do some of that, but our purpose is to glorify God and to win souls. And we need to get our priorities right as we think about it. And if we don't have our priorities right, we're going to have some failures. We must have our priorities right. And those priorities should be based on the Word of God. And they should be spiritual priorities far above any others. Those others may fit in there, but they have to be spiritual priorities. One of the reasons some had failures last year is they had no goals. You know, I've learned this, if you don't ever shoot at anything, you're not going to hit it. If you don't have any goals out there, you're not going to reach them. And I think it's a good time, just automatically a good time, to take inventory of our lives, no matter who we are, no matter what our age is, no matter what our position is, that we would take some inventory of our lives and see if our priorities are right. One reason some Christians failed last year, and maybe more than they wanted to, is because their priorities were not right, their goals were not set, and they had no goals. We need goals in our life. Now, I try to set out some goals for our church, and the staff and I go out on a retreat, and we talk about things. It's not just a me deal, it's us. We're working together. We're a team trying to do something for the glory of God, and we'll set those goals. Now, those goals are set in concrete, except if God wants to change them. And if God wants to change them, we're open to that. But I still would rather have some goals. And I believe this, if you set some goals and then you're getting away from God wants to change those goals, you'll begin to not care so much about those particular things. God just sort of takes care of that. But if our heart's right, and we really want to do the right thing, but I still believe it is important for people to set goals. Another reason some people failed last year is, and I hate to say this, but I know it's the fact, is laziness. If some people just fail, and they blame everybody else in the world, but the truth of the matter is they're just lazy. I mean, you're going to fail if you're a lazy person. And I believe the book of Proverbs is saturated with a whole lot of information that challenges us, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Get up and do something. My daughters, for the Christmas holidays, and sometimes we have stayed longer than we did this time, and I love them. And I think they're like I am. When they come to see me, I like to see the headlights coming, the taillights going. And I think they feel the same way. But by the time we had gone through all that we had done, it was nothing to think of nuts. What am I going to do? I got to find something to do. I even washed dishes. My wife, she knows I wash. I vacuumed the floor. I dusted. That is not what I normally do, but I couldn't stand just sitting around. I just can't. The idea of sitting in an easy chair watching old movies and just rotting, that doesn't interest me at all. But, God does not bless laziness. God does not bless laziness. If you're a lazy type person and you're not motivated, you need to get over that. That's why some of us fail. It's simply because we're lazy. That's why some students don't make better grades than other students. They want to cruise through and be lazy. And so, Dr. Barber, don't say anything about my grades when I was in seminary. I think I did fair in your class. But we don't need to be lazy. We need to have prayer life. Some people fail later. Your prayer life isn't what it should be. I can say, why did that happen? Did I have a failure here? Sometimes simply because prayer life has not been what it should be. And reading our Bible, all those practical things. All of us do fail, though. Nobody's perfect. Nobody in this building tonight always does everything right all the time. I know some of you think you do, but you really don't. And I have scripture for that. But at any rate, we don't always do what we should do. But I think sometimes God also allows enough failures in our life to keep us humble. If we didn't fail once in a while, we wouldn't be humble. If we didn't run up against some problems sometimes, we would not understand and realize just how much we need God every day of our lives. And we do need Him every day. We don't need Him just once a month. We need God every day in our lives. And I'm glad that even if we fail, and I'm not purporting to try to fail, I'm saying we do fail, but what we need to do is ask God to forgive us. And then learn from our failures. It's one thing to fail, but it's a terrible thing to not learn from our failures. And all of us have failed, but the sad thing is some people fail and they don't learn from their failures. We need to learn from our failures and turn from those and go on and do what God wants us to do. And God will forgive us. Now, that sort of looks back at last year very succinctly and very quickly. But what about the new year? Some people don't have enough enthusiasm to look forward. That's sad, isn't it? I'm looking forward to this coming year. I don't know what God has in store, but I know God is sovereign and God has something in store for my life, for this church, for my family. And I want to look forward, and we're going to share some of those things with you next Sunday on Great Start Sunday or Starting Out Right Sunday and all of that, and Vision Sunday to show you those things. But we need to look forward and have some enthusiasm about it. There used to be a guy that in our church at Fellowship Baptist years ago, and I just preached there last Sunday, and every time I'm there, I always sort of think of this guy. And he was challenged, mentally challenged. But I remember one night they were giving testimonies, and he said, "There's one thing we need in this church," and he couldn't speak very clearly. He said, "We need some enthusiasm." And I've never forgotten that. He realized that we needed some enthusiasm. And all of us tonight need some enthusiasm. Amen. Looking forward to the new year, not in fear and being afraid of what might happen. We don't need to be like the contented frog, the parable of the contented frog who just sits and relaxes in mediocrity until they're destroyed. You can put a frog in cool water and just leave it there and set it on a burner, and it'll just sit there until it absolutely boils itself, until it's boiled to death. We're to be like that. We need to have vision. I would like to try, and I know this is fairly simplistic, but it's a thing to be reminded of it, some new goals at this time of the year. And I think we ought to do that from time to time throughout the year. But set some new goals in your life. If you have a bad habit, I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to get rid of that bad habit. Wouldn't that be a good goal for some people? If you have a bad habit, whatever it may be, bad temper, all these other programs, and we have some, and they're good, and I like them, I've participated in them, and all of them. But it's very simple, and that is, number one, put God first financially. Number two, and let me go back to give some other people, help other people, be a gift person with God first, and then give others and helping them out. And then say, lay some money back, put it in savings. Did you know the raise? If you didn't know that, they're going to come. Put back in savings, and then live off of the rest. And I promise you that'll work. Put God first, some in bank, and live off what's left. And everybody's scared. I hear say, well, all this stuff, but I think it's for debt, have some risks, that might be everyone debt, stay debt, credit, they ever just get in for all. Thank you. In practice, we need for goals service. We need to serve the Lord, and we need to check up every once in a while on what we're doing. And serve Him. Sunday school teacher, can I challenge you tonight? That's new goals in your class. Not just numeric goals, but goals, spiritual growth, and caring for people. And swift there may be, who you see as the need. People that are in the can you set some new goals to be faithful practices and to have great and corporate work and to serve God so we can have a top-notch music program? I think that is good, but I think it's like everything else, whether it's my preaching or the music or anything, there's room for improvement. And set some new goals, things that you do in your service, God, or nursery, or the bus ministry, or whatever it may be, somehow set some new goals for your service. I certainly believe we ought to really take inventory of witnessing. We could all improve on that. And let me say, I'm not one that just presses that legalistic thing and say, you better be here on Saturday, and if you're not here on Saturday and you don't witness, go out on soul winning. I'd love for the whole church to be here on Saturday morning. What do you think if everybody here tonight could come on Saturday morning and go out soul winning? Do you think we could make an impact, this couple of hundred people on this city? Sure. But the thing that I would like to see done that I think is so effective is wherever you are, every day, wherever you are, whomever you're associated with, talk to them about Jesus. Live the life in front of them and witness. If you would bring people into the church and go out and soul win and talk to people all around, if all of us would do that, if I would do that, all of us would do that, then we could see more people saved, isn't that why we're here, and more people baptized. We're not just here to be a community of sweet people that fellowship with one another. Though I love sweet Christian fellowship, especially when we include food with it. I love sweet Christian fellowship. But that's not the purpose of our church. We need outreach. And in the more outreach we have, the more we're going to fill up these pews. And I'll never come to the place where I don't say that I'd like to see the church packed and filled. And we need to work in order to do that. I think we need to set some goals about a family altar. I can promise you that one of the greatest needs in this church, I can tell you without walking up to you and asking you, that one of the greatest needs in this church is a family altar. A family altar of some kind. Mom, if your husband's on the road all the time, get on Skype if you have to. And we do that for holidays. We do that for other times. Why not get on Skype and have some devotions? And Papa can do that from a distance. But if not, you take the initiative. But dads, you're the head of the home. If, in fact, there's a dad in that home, you're the head of the home, and there needs to be, listen, what could be sweeter than a family altar? Taking time together. If it's just you and your little wife, you pray at night before you go to bed and let her pray one time. You pray the next time and her pray the next time and you the next time. You learn each other's heart, what's going on in your hearts. And it's a sweet, sweet, sweet fellowship. Spend more time in the Bible. All practical things. I think we ought to determine that we want to have a living, powerful church. A living, powerful church. The charismatics are booming. They put on a good show many times, and a lot of that is emotional based. I can preach a whole message about that. We have the churches that have gotten into the entertainment business. They're blowing and going, and they can draw a crowd. You can find some of them, their doctrine is about that deep. They have no doctrine. And many times they don't even preach the gospel. But boy, can they ever draw a crowd with that loud music and all of the video stuff they do and showing Andy Griffith movies and all of that kind of stuff and making some kind of application from those. Listen, it ought to be the preaching of the Word of God. But we need to see a church that has the power of God on it. And that only comes through our living right and praying. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty tonight. I'm trying to challenge all of our hearts about doing these things. Determined to make each day a better day. How am I going to do that, preacher? Well, in your daily schedule, as I've already mentioned, have prayer, Bible, witnessing. Here's another thing we don't think about. Die to self. Die to self. Paul said, I die once a year. Is that what he said? No, let's correct it. I die once every quarter. No, I die once every month. Now, what did Paul say? I die daily. And you and I have to do it. We've got to get up thinking about God, put on the whole armor of God, and die to self. Self is always in the way. The self-willed life. And we have to die to self. Get rid of self. Die to self. And Jesus says we are to reckon ourselves to have been crucified with Christ. Not only risen with Him, but crucified with Him. There's no reason that we can't die to self and judge sin in our lives. You have any sin in your life? Only you and God really know. Husbands, your wife may not know about it. Wives, your husbands may not know about it. Young people, your mom and daddy may not know about it, vice versa. But I can tell you, you and God know about it. And we need to judge sin in our life. And every day, and I know this is sort of hard to psych yourself up to do it, but every day of our lives we should be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, one of these days, it's going to happen. One of these days, the trump is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And the rest of us, we're all going up to meet the Lord and be with the Lord forevermore. But it could happen any time. And then determined to have power with God. This is a little bit of an enlargement on what I've already said. What a need that we have to have power with God. Overcome sin, don't be a worrier, and be a witness and have power of God on your witnessing. We have too many powerless churches. You know what we depend on sometimes is the machinery. We depend on the machinery rather than depending on God. We have all these programs and all of that. I like to call them ministries. I don't like to call them programs. Reformers Unanimous is not a program. It's a ministry. And I understand if you call it a program. I'm not going to bite your head off for that. But understand, it's a ministry, it's a ministry, it's a ministry. I heard about one place in Africa where they sent them over one of these gas engines that produce electricity. And I cannot confirm that this story is true, but I read it as to be a true thing, that the people began to bow down and worship the machinery. And that's sometimes what I'm afraid we do in our churches. Folks, let me tell you, we must have the power of God and the touch of God on our ministries, on our lives, on our homes, on our church, in order to please God and get the job done. And the reason there's no power sometimes is we've broken the contact. Broken the contact. I was in my car the other day, I don't know, it's been about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I stopped to eat a sandwich, a real fancy restaurant, and got me a McDonald's, and stopped by a fence over at an airport. And I was coming back through that way. I thought, well, I'll watch some airplanes land and take off while I eat my sandwich. I got ready to leave, and the car wouldn't start. And, you know, it's not that old, but it just wouldn't start, wouldn't hit a lick. So I called all the staff. None of them would help me. And none of them have jumper cables. They had to learn. And we bought, I don't know how many pair here, and put in the bus, and I guess the bus workers use them or something. I don't know what happens to them. But anyway, finally I called my wife. You know, Burleson to where I was a long ways. And I said, I've tried everything else. Looks like you're going to have to come. And I always keep jumper cables in my car. And so she came, and what had happened, it had gotten loose, and I didn't have the right tools to tighten it up and to clean that off of the post. And so she came, and I jumped it, and it started just like that. But the connection was broken, and that's why there was no power. I had all that car there. I mean, it's got the seats that heat up, and it's got all kinds of little buttons you pass, and you can punch one, and it'll put my seat right back where I drive it, and punch another one in, puts it where she drives it, and all that kind of stuff. But none of that stuff would work. The radio wouldn't even work. Nothing would work. Nothing would work. The power had been broken. And that corrosion is like any kind of sin, attitudes and things in our lives that get in there. And the car battery and the car cable had to be worked on in order to do that. Let me tell you, here's the thing this year. I don't know what you might be thinking about, what concerns you have. I'm concerned to some degree about our country and the way it's going. I think you might get that hint every once in a while and all of those things. But let me tell you, God always will make the difference. And if there's going to be a difference in your life this year, God will make the difference. God makes the difference. But God, I had a little outline that I like, and it, God always makes a difference. Lucifer rebelled, but God kicked him out of heaven. Amen? That's how powerful God is. Adam sinned, but God provided a sacrifice and a blood atonement. Thank God he did that. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a baby, but God. So you ladies better watch out. And Pharaoh tried to destroy the Jews, didn't he? But God intervened at the Red Sea. And it wasn't the Reed Sea, it was the Red Sea. And they would have drowned. But God intervened. Christ was crucified. But God the Father raised the Son from the dead. But God. Achan tried to get away with sin. But God knew all about it. He didn't get away with sin. But God. We're all doomed to die someday if Christ doesn't come in our lifetime. But God will redeem my soul from the grave. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 49. God will redeem my soul from the grave. And you can reject God. Listen to me. Most of us are saved here tonight. But you can reject God. But God will reject you if you do not receive His Son as your Savior. The difference in our lives this year will have to be God. Whatever you face, whatever you come, you can just say, but God. But God can take care of that. But God will see me through it. But God will provide the need. But God will give me the grace. But God will heal me. If He doesn't want to heal me, He'll use my sickness for His glory. But God will take care of it. We have a wonderful God, don't we? We really do. Let's stand and our heads are bowed and we'll have a word of prayer. Perhaps tonight God's spoken to your heart about something and you want to come and pray about it. We invite you to do that. Maybe to make some decisions, seal them at the altar. I always like to find a place to seal my challenges and goals and decisions and all of that. And God knows what it is in our lives tonight. If you're here without Christ, come and receive Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your blessings of the old year. Thank You, dear God, for even the trials that have drawn us closer to You. Reminded us that You'd sustain us and bring us through them. And Lord, help us now as we come to this chronometric measurement called a year time. Help us, O Lord, to take some inventory and see if we cannot improve some things. All to Your glory. Help us, O Lord, to consider these things that You have spoken to our hearts about by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God tonight. I pray You'd guide us and direct us. And God, give us a good year. Help us as a church to do what You want us to do, to be better at witnessing, to win more people to Christ, to have a church that the power of the Holy Spirit is present in great power every time we meet, no matter who's preaching. May You help us, O God, I pray. Help that soul that is nearest hell tonight to be saved. In Jesus' name.